Hey, my phone rang this time.
Hey, all right.
Paul?
So I want to. Yeah, can you hear me? Ben?
Oh, geez.
Ben, can you hear me? Ben, I'm here.
Paul
Ben?
Goody.
I'm
I
here.
can't
Can you hear
hear
me?
you. If you can hear me, I'm gonna call you back,
Yeah.
okay? If you can hear
Okay,
me, I'm gonna call you
sounds good.
back.
All right, I'll call you. I'll be here.
Ugh, it's always something.
I'm eating mushrooms. This might not work. It might be my speaker. Ben, can you hear me?
Hey, yes.
Okay, good.
How's it going?
So, all right. Now I'm doing something I swore I wouldn't do.
Are you eating on the podcast again?
I am eating on the podcast. I have mushrooms that I just cooked,
Yeah.
but they shouldn't be that crunchy. I'm holding the microphone away from my mouth. So it should work out,
Yeah.
but we'll see.
Also, right off the bat, I'm gonna say that I'm probably gonna cut this show short today because
Okay.
I have to leave Annex a little earlier than I normally do. So
Okay.
probably gonna,
That sounds all right.
just gonna cut it off. Well, when I feel like it. So in that case, goodbye, Paul.
See you later, Ben.
Keep it wrong. No, I'm kidding.
Keep it wrong.
Yeah, no, Blair and I are going to Teatro Zanzani tonight.
Oh,
And
now, for those of you
it's yeah.
who don't live in Seattle, if you live in Seattle and you don't know what this is, shame on
Or
you.
San Francisco. There's a tent down in the Bay Area as well.
How long ago did that happen?
It's
Has
been
it
around.
always been?
No, it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they stopped the San Francisco show and then they're starting it back up again. Like they're
Oh,
doing with
okay.
the Seattle show. They moved Teatro Zanzani.
Oh. They moved the Seattle one?
Yeah, so it was this whole big thing. The plot of land that they were on over by the Seattle Center was so
Yes.
it was owned by the Seattle Opera. And they sold it to basically develop the land because they needed the money and
Oh
told Teatro Zanzani to GTFO.
no.
So
Wow.
Teatro Zanzani pulled up stakes and now they are in Marymore Park in Redmond, which is why I have to leave early because I gotta stop by someplace first on my way home, go home, change, drive to West Queen Anne, pick up Blair, and then drive over to Redmond. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Teatro Zanzani, friends of ours who work there, are friends of ours who work at the Seattle Opera. Was there any sort of beef about that? Or was everyone professional like we all know that we all.
Yeah, I think everyone was professional. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there was beef, but and I don't really know any of the inner workings of any of this. So, I'm just assuming that on both sides there was like, but
Yeah.
Seattle is what it is, man, and that piece of land was super pricey and super valuable.
So can I tell you, these mushrooms that I'm eating,
Yeah.
they were getting a little bit moldy, so I cut off the bad parts. And it just struck me that mushrooms being moldy is a weird thing.
Because mushrooms are themselves fungus.
Yeah, but I guess fungus and mold, I mean, sort of the same, but two species interacting, not a weird
Right.
thing.
Yeah.
The reason I mentioned it is I just bit into a bad part and
I don't quite care for mushrooms myself. I will sometimes buy them and put them in like stir fry just because I feel like I'm an adult and I should learn to eat things that I don't like.
I gotta say, my favorite kind of mushroom, portobello mushroom. Sort of the working man's, fancy mushroom. I'm sure there
Right.
are much more fancier mushrooms, but portobello mushrooms
And the
are kind of meaty.
yeah, those are the mushrooms they make into hamburgers, right?
Mushroom burgers,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, sometimes it'll just be a slab of the mushroom on a hamburger bun,
That
and it
sounds
works fine.
sounds really disgusting.
Oh, but it's not. It's really good. Well, if you're like me, and I know I am,
Hey,
I like those.
you eat meat these days, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
But for the times that I was vegan, I felt better about speaking about which, okay, so as you know, my my relationship with Judaism has gotten complicated. I'm still actually it's weird. I'm still trying to keep kosher. Now there are times when I'm not. I went to my parents' house, and by my parents I mean my adopted parents.
Right.
Who, it's weird. I think of them as my parents, and then my biological parents, I think of these other entities, like, you know, sort of like you would think of as friends and bosses, kind of. That's the only way I can describe it. It's weird. But, so I went to my adopted parents' house.
Yeah.
Or, as I call it sometimes, my parents' house. And,
because they are the people who raised you.
Exactly, exactly. And continue to, sometimes. My dad helped me put tires on my car just recently, which is a totally different story. But actually, it's not, because it's after I went to... So I can actually tell this story. This actually works. Tire of my car was flat.
Yeah.
And my dad said, okay, so he asked me to describe all the different tires. It's like, okay, we're going to take the tires off of, the front. So one of the front tires was flat. So we're going to take the better tire off the front and put it on the back. Right. And then we're going to move, the best tire that was, on there, and how's that going to work? So we take the, yeah, and we're going to move the best tire that was on the front, and the, okay, so
he's basically helping you rotate your tires.
He's helping me rotate my tires. Yeah. So he said he'd pay for the tires. So I go to Walmart and I get two tires, and we want to put the two good tires on the front, and then the other ones work on the back, right?
Okay.
Well, they won't put the front tire on the back, because that front tire is too worn for them to do it, they say.
Gotcha.
So what my dad does is he has them put the one front tire on the front, and then the new tire on the back, and then he says, "Will you can drive your car to my house. I've got, you know, he's got all the tools."
Yeah.
And he'll switch those other two tires. So I say, sure, fine. And when I get there, my mom asks if I want to stay for dinner. And I say, sure. She's serving rouladen. Now,
which is?
Rouladen is a dish that apparently is only, like, really known in the Midwest. And even then, only by families of German descent. Pretty much.
Yeah, I've never heard it.
It's a pickle, a dill pickle, like a spear of a dill pickle, not a full dill pickle, but a, you know, like a piece of dill pickle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
With bacon wrapped around it.
Okay.
With a skirt sake wrapped around that. There can be onions, but not usually. And so I'm at their house and they're serving this thing and I'm like, well, you know, this isn't kosher stuff. But these are my parents and they've made me this.
Right.
And here's the thing. I've eaten it before in my life. If there's any problem with it, it's already passed.
But I thought you had stopped keeping kosher. So
not really. No, no. I stopped going to, you know, the place where I was doing, you know, trying the Shabbat services out. I don't really stay with the Shabbat stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But I was pretty much keeping kosher still as much as I could.
Right.
But in this one instance, I was like, I'll do it. And it worked out okay. And I was thinking about it. It's like when I was vegan, right? I said to myself, let's say I was at some place and there are these people and they're happy to see me. And they kill their prized bull, and they cook it for me and all that. Am I going to refuse?
Yeah. Eat. That, you insult us if you don't eat it.
Exactly. And that's what I figured out is, you know, I was an opportunistic eater, I decided, that I would eat depending on where I was and what was happening. So when I cook for myself, I try to stay within the kosher stuff. If I'm eating something, and like if I had gone to a restaurant, because I went to a restaurant and they had rouladen there,
yeah,
but I chose to eat this noodle cheese thing instead, and kind of for the same reasons, you know, but with my parents making this for me, it was a different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he switched my tire around. So, that was good.
Yeah. Good thing to rotate your tires every once in a while. It evens out the wear on them.
I need to get another set of tires for the back, too. Probably before winter. It would be a good thing. The one thing that we're worried about is because one tire went bad before the other one did, that maybe my alignment is off.
Does your car pull to one side?
It sort of does, but all the roads kind of twist around here, so it's hard to tell.
There's no real straight stretch of road. You can tell exactly if a car is pulling on a curved road.
It feels like it's pulling a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I will say.
When you let go of the steering wheel, does the car
straighten out? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It seems like it lists a little bit.
When I had a long commute from my house, like when I was a teenager in Shelton to Olympia to go to school, there was this one stretch of road that was this really soft curve to the left, and if I timed it just right, I could time out my poor alignment with the curve of the road, so I could drive this whole It probably curved. The road was going north, and then the road started going west. And I could time it so where I could let go of the steering wheel, and the car would just naturally follow the curve of the road.
Right.
Because of the alignment was so terrible.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've done the same thing with cars before. The thing is that I have not run into a road where I can do that to check to see if the alignment is doing that here yet. But now, of course, on my way to work, I will probably find something.
Yeah.
So, I have some stuff that I'm doing. I'm still working on the undercover hospital thing, which is sort of slow going because we had some events that we were doing.
Undercover Hospital, is this part of the podcast show?
Yep, okay. Exactly. It's one of the things that I'm editing.
Yeah.
It's like the next thing, but it's so involved. it's the one where Jennifer does all the voices, so I'm actually cutting and pasting every single line of dialogue.
Are you making it more complicated than it needs to be?
Of course I am.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I be? Yeah. So, but there's another thing that hopefully is going to lap it. We just need to get a couple of other people talking. And the tin can thing might happen. So I told Jennifer that if we launch with some actual stuff by spring, I'll be happy.
Oh, you're giving yourself all winter to do this, huh?
I am, yeah. And here's why. I have learned that trying to rush things is fine, but in the long run, you know, it doesn't help.
Right.
Because pretty soon you're 44 and you're like, well, I wish I would have taken more time with X, Y, or Z.
Pretty soon.
And you realize that, like, for instance, when I was in my 20s, I was like, maybe I should learn to play piano.
Right.
And then I was like, no, I should have started when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, it's too late now. Now I look back at it and I'm like, well, I would have had 20 years to practice playing piano. I probably would be all right now.
In my experience, the whole, I agree with that. That's true. Like, I should have learned how to do this when I was younger, so why don't I start now? No, I'm too old. And then 10 years down the road, well, I should have started then. But also,
you actually
also
started to learn piano.
I tried. But, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm 44. I should have started this years ago. In my experience, it's like, oh, I'm 44. I just don't care about this anymore.
yeah, there is that. Well, like with skateboarding and me, it was like I lived in Dorsey when skateboarding was huge, and all I had was a square patio to go around.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, you know, if I had lived in a city, at the time where I had no regard for my own physical safety, maybe I would have learned how to skateboard. But I don't know if I've ever had that. You know, I don't. Our mutual friend Troy Lund, right?
Yeah.
Is great at skateboarding. In fact, the Mad Woman of Shio, I don't remember. Is it Shio? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not, but it does not surprise me that Troy looks like a skater.
They built a half pipe or something equivalent to that into the set so that he could skate on and off.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. That was John Hamm was in it also. It was a really good production. It was probably one of my favorite things. Definitely one of my favorite college things I saw.
Yeah.
Let's see. Around that time, people were also, they did the post Armageddon Macbeth, which I thought was great.
Hmm.
That wasn't the school though. That was a touring company that came in, and it was Macbeth, but like Mad Max, and it worked out. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, I got pretty good as a skateboarder when I was a kid. But
you did.
I think I stopped boarding when I was like in high school.
Wait, did you do a half pipe at all, or did you do any of the tricks or anything?
I couldn't really do the half pipe, but I didn't really have access to one. I just skateboarded.
Didn't really have skate parks at that time.
Yeah, I just skateboarded around my neighborhood.
Did you ever get yelled at by any adults to quit skateboarding?
I probably did, but I don't remember
any specific
instances, because I'm sure I didn't care.
I got arrested one time for stealing stuff. That was the time that I cared about being yelled at by adults.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
When once that happened, I was saying this... it's like when a kangaroo gets punched, apparently they don't box anymore. I don't know if that's true or not.
What?
It's a long story, but the basic idea is that there was a movie. I think Peter Falk was in it. It was about a kangaroo who was a boxer. And when the kangaroo got hit, it stopped boxing. And I have to say, it has one of the best endings of a movie I've ever seen.
Was the kangaroo's internal motivation, like once it got hit, did it think to itself, oh, screw this, man?
I don't remember exactly, but I think that's what it was. It was like, well, I'm never gonna win again.
Jeez.
Once I got arrested for shoplifting, I never stole again, because I was like, well, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, because part of it was, you know, undefeated. I felt like I was kind of a magician.
Yeah.
Like I was doing, you know, this trick distraction thing. It felt good. But the end of this movie, Peter Falk says something like, isn't life grand? And then this balloon rises and you kind of follow the balloon as it goes above the city. And I really hope, Ben, I'll tell you this. When I die, when I pass off this mortal coil, I really hope that there is that crane shot. I hope that that's what you see. It starts, you see your body, and then you float above it, and there's just a crane shot, and you see the world. I think that would be great.
All right, so when you die, we'll film your ceremony.
Yeah, and then do a crane shot.
We'll do a crane shot. We'll even release a balloon.
Ben, I really appreciate it. That would be great. speaking of which, I saw two red balloons while I was driving home today.
Oh.
I believe that they came, and I looked over, and there was an auto dealership that had balloons on the cars. I think whoever affixed the balloons to the cars did not do such a great job.
It's not subtle marketing for the Stephen King movie It.
Oh, now that could be. I've seen people... pranking their friends when they know that they've gone to see It, they tie a balloon to the sewer grate outside their house.
Now that's
which,
just
by
mean.
The way, I haven't seen It, either one of them, really. I saw maybe some of the Tim Curry one.
Yeah.
But did you see the new one at all?
I've not seen the new one. I have seen the Tim Curry one, but I have yet to see the new, who is that? Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Pennywise.
My friend Andy, who you've met and we've on the podcast, he has seen it and said that I really should see it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but you know what I did see with him and his daughter at his mom's house on the big TV? Stand By Me.
Wow.
Which I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And there's something kind of great. If you look at, if you watch Stand By Me, right?
Yeah.
And you think of Stranger Things. You know how there's that sort of feeling between the two of them?
Yeah.
There's a scene where what's his name? Whoever Will Wheaton plays.
Right. Will Wheaton's character.
Yeah. Has the gun and he's staring at the older boy. And I tell you, with his short hair and the way that he's looking, he looks just like 11.
Really?
And I have to think, if it wasn't planned, it's a subconscious thing because they look very similar.
Yeah. Stand By Me was always one of those movies that kind of freaked me out because the I just couldn't get over the leech scene when Will Wheaton pulls the leech out of his pants. And I'm like, yeah. I'm never going outside ever again.
Okay. You'll have to help me remember this. If Andy comes back onto the podcast, he has to tell his leech story.
Oh, good.
Because there is one. So, okay. The next thing, though, Ben, we're 20 minutes in. Which I think is a good time to introduce our one segment.
Oh.
Well, our one unplanned segment. There are other segments like How Dare You.
Right.
And Paul's Mean to Ben, which, you know, only happen occasionally. But it's time for corrections. Corrections.
Ding.
Ding. To explain corrections, when Ben and I were doing the podcast, at one time, we had a discussion about how people think that they're smart because they have Google, but really they're not smart. And we hope to prove that with ourselves by never Googling stuff on the show. That became a section where we would actually find questions and answer them without using Google. But we eventually learned that we say enough wrong things on the podcast anyway. We didn't need to force it.
It's a good summation.
Yes. You, the listener, can write to us at Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
Hey,
did I get that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So write to us with corrections. We have scant participation by listeners. But we have some people who have, Jose Amador has, made a correction. Stephen McCandless has, submitted, but the MVP of the correction world is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who, tries to correct almost everything that we do. It is a service that I greatly appreciate. And, Ben, I believe she has turned in the corrections. Can you verify?
Yes, I have just pulled them up.
Aha. How did we do?
Well, there's a lot of text.
Okay, that's something.
We were talking about the Runcible, which is a pocket watch shaped cell phone.
Yes.
And so
mobile phone.
And so the Runcible, an heirloom smart pocket device per the creator. You can pair Runcible with a Bluetooth device and make phone calls if that's what you want. The exterior is made of rare, sustainably sourced hardwoods. She couldn't continue to watch the video because it made her want to punch things, all of the things. I'll have to check this video out. you can pre-order it. Oh, wait, no, you can't. The pre-orders are all sold out. Oh, this was that Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing was based on the Firefox OS, which was abandoned in 2015, so they had to rework the entire OS and created the Indiegogo to support that. And then she says she's not spending any more time on that. It's dumb. So,
But did she ever, this is the thing, did she ever find out whether or not anybody ever got their devices? Because the thing that I postulated was that no one actually ever got this.
Yeah, thing. I don't. She doesn't say, but I'm gonna willing to bet that because of all the controversy surrounding it, probably nobody got theirs.
And I think this is the thing that I think is a little bit crazy. I believe it's named after the Runcible spoon, which is in the rhyme "The Owl and the Pussycat," which, if I'm not mistaken, was funny because it was a made-up word. There is no such thing as a Runcible spoon.
It does sound like and a made-up word.
Therefore, there is no such thing as a Runcible. That is what I'm postulating. Am I right? Who knows? Tune in next time.
All right, number two, improv and film. We were talking about... Oh, I was sort of giving you a hard time about your concept of not writing a film before filming.
Yes.
And she says, improv and film. I think Mike Lee comes the closest to the concept. There's not a script for several of his films, such as Secrets and Lies, Naked, All or Nothing, Career Girls. There's a lot of character work and several weeks of improv sessions, which are distilled into something I love and think is beautiful. He's also done scripted stuff, Topsy Turvy and Vera Drake. I don't think I've seen any Mike Lee films, but it also sounds like what Christopher Guest does with a lot of his movies,
yeah.
Where there's an outline, but there's no script per se.
Oh, okay. Here's something. I don't remember who the other guy is. I think the other guy might be Norman Lear. I'm not positive. But Rip Torn and some other guy got into a fight during the filming of something. They got into a real fight, and it's on film because it was an improv. It was an improv film as well. I want to say maybe Cassavetes did something like that, but I don't think it's Cassavetes. I think it's someone else. I think, like I said, I think it's Norman Lear and Rip Torn, but I'm not positive on the other guy.
So, wait, are you saying that they got into an actual fight, or were they just, like, improv-ing? No, they got it.
Yeah, well, they were improv-ing.
Yeah.
And then they got into an actual, like, bloody fight. Yeah.
Did that make
find
the final
cut?
Find out
what the name of that is. find it and watch it.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. I don't know. I saw the video, though, and yeah, it's funny.
I don't know if I'd want to watch that, but I have seen recently footage of... backstage footage where David O. Russell, this director, got into a screaming match with Lily Tomlin on the set of I Heart Huckabees.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah,
it's really uncomfortable to watch because he's like basically freaking out. You know, the beginning of this video doesn't really show the instigating moments going up to this. It just like starts off with him screaming his head off, and she's just sitting there like being calm and level-headed, but there's also and like as he goes on, he starts like destroying the set too, and people are just, they're not really doing anything about it. They're just at one point everybody just quietly leaves.
Wow, that's crazy.
Apparently this dude doesn't have a very good reputation in Hollywood.
Well, I guess not.
Yeah.
And then there's the Christian Bale thing with the lights.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody ever did this. I thought that maybe Saturday Night Live or Funny or Die or whatever would do something with this, because it's begging to be done, of course, that you show that it's that audio, right?
Yeah.
And there's a guy doing lighting stuff, and whatever that guy is doing for the lighting. So you play that audio, but like it's like you're filming the other side of... Like, Christian Bale's off camera, and you're just filming the guy who's doing the light stuff. And the idea is that whatever the lighting guy is doing is bad enough that it justifies that level of anger. That was my thought. I don't know if anybody ever did it, but they should have.
Here's an interesting tidbit about Christian Bale that I probably have mentioned. When he was doing the late night talk show circuit to promote Batman, he used his American accent. Because somebody felt that they didn't want American audiences to know that a British man was playing this American superhero.
Oh, weird. Well, here's something that I will tell you for free. they say that's why he did that accent, right? But when he was in The Machinist, in an interview with that, he did his he did that accent that he did for The Machinist also.
Really?
I want to say that he might be one of those guys that stays in character for the whole thing.
That's he's like a Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Who made his own wife call him Abraham Lincoln. I'm sure that's
Daniel
apocryphal.
Day-Lewis Day every day when you're Daniel Day-Lewis. You mentioned he did scripted things. Topsy Turvy, Vera Drake. Just a sidebar really quick.
Yeah.
This
whole podcast is a sidebar. I don't think you need to worry about going off topic.
The director, what is it? What's his name?
Mike Lee. L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah. Mike Lee directed Vera Drake. Did I ever tell you, did we ever discuss in the podcast how Jennifer and I almost got kicked out of Vera Drake?
No.
Vera Drake is a serious drama about a woman who performs abortions.
Okay.
It's a period piece. It is deathly serious. And Jennifer and I, you're familiar with corpsing.
Yes.
Where you just can't stop laughing.
Right.
Jennifer and I got into a thing. And I believe Jennifer leaned over to me at one point in time and said, she's so distraught that she's forgotten how to act, or something to that effect. Because the main character just sort of became a dead space in that film.
Really?
It's not bad. It's just like there's nothing there. Like she just disappears kind of. but that set us off, and then every single time there was a shot of her or anything, it just, and people were mad.
Did someone go get an usher to try to calm you guys
down?
No
one got an usher. I think it was fine. I think they just glared at us when we left. I don't know if we saw the entire thing. We might have left in it. Jennifer will be able to tell you. Jennifer is much more, she remembers events in our life much more than I do.
Yeah.
Like, handy. I know that things have happened. And I can remember them, but lots of times she has to remind me. She has to say, do you remember when this happened? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Are you familiar, Ben, with the concept of monarchs?
Monarchs?
They're people who are raised to be hypnotically suggestible. Like Sirhan Sirhan, who shot Robert Kennedy. Was thought to maybe be one of these guys, Manchurian Candidate type of stuff.
Okay,
where you have your cover identity, but when a trigger word is said, then all of a sudden you're on it. I have this odd feeling that I'm like one of those types of people, and that's why I have these weird memory gaps.
I'd be hesitant though to refer to yourself as a monarch because people might assume that you think you're royalty.
Well, Ben. We'll
and they wouldn't be wrong, am I right?
I'm a man of the people. but the way that it works, right, is I say, I don't remember that happening. And then Jennifer will say, oh, no, you remember this happened. And then as soon as she says that, eventually, I'm like, right.
Is she gaslighting
and
you?
And then well, what I'm thinking is that she's probably my handler. and she just makes sure that I don't get too far off script.
Speaking of being your handler, it's a good thing you two were married. She goes on to say that you and she were married on October 9th, 2005.
Yep.
We had to leave Theater Off Jackson, our venue, to do a matinee performance of The Front Page.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember the wedding and the show happening on the same day.
She and I talked about this today, actually, which I guess is... part of the correction is that she corrected me ahead of time. So I'm not going to pretend like all of a sudden Ben, I knew that she had to remind me also. And then, after the wedding, we went and stayed at the W Hotel and
fancy.
We got there late and we got up at 7 and we're like, oh, we might as well go. 'Cause you know, people were watching, our house or whatever at the time. or else we were just, I don't remember why we decided to go. It wasn't like, you know, a bad reason. It wasn't like we didn't like being there or whatever, but we decided to go. And so we spent, our honeymoon was about, she estimated about 6 hours at the W Hotel. And we still have to take a family vacation at some point in time. We just haven't done it. And I feel bad, Jennifer. I feel bad.
Yeah.
We'll do it at some point in time.
Speaking of your family, number four, yeah. Betty is not getting braces. The new fancy thing these days is pre-orthodontia, meaning they do things like extract stubborn deciduous teeth so the permanent teeth can come in properly. That said, she will have a palate expander placed on her upper hard palate. It looks like a medieval torture device, and it comes with a key that we turn at intervals based on the orthodontist's recommendation. Now the suffering is all hidden and internal.
Yeah, okay. So the palate spreader was what I was thinking of as braces,
I
guess.
That sounds terrible. I'm sorry that
she has an appliance in her mouth that is going to... Yeah. Wow.
Oh my God. My nephew had braces, and he just recently got them off. And I guess like 3 years is when the standard time for braces wearing.
Yeah, that sounds right. This is only going to be 1 year, so maybe that's part of it.
Well, there you go. And finally, number five, she says, not a correction at all, just floating the idea of an Al Franken Jill Stein ticket. So it's a Frankenstein ticket.
Yeah, I like that.
She just says Stein. I'm assuming she means Jill Stein. Maybe she's talking about Ben Stein or whatever.
You know, this is one of the things about not being on social media anymore. When you said Jill Stein, for a second I was like, who? because she's not being brought up to me every single day as being one of the reasons for the current political climate,
right.
Which, by the way, I don't know what it is.
I don't see. I mean, I am on social media all the time, but I don't see mention of Jill Stein much anymore. Have you heard this though? There's going to be a big Antifa uprising on November 4th.
No, I haven't heard.
Yeah,
that.
And because I, it's not like I am on all the mailing lists of these groups. But the only places I've heard of this supposed uprising is from all of my Republican and right-wing friends. So I'm sure it's one of those, you know, it's one of those instances where it's this manufactured thing just to put the right wing on edge.
Well, you never know. You never know. Eventually, here's the thing. If the right person gets in the right spot, eventually they can play both the groups. That's how you do it. Hey guys, we're gonna fight. Hey, I hear these guys are fighting, and then eventually it happens.
Yep.
Because enough people. So yeah, if the FBI were to infiltrate both groups successfully, not that that would ever happen, but you know what I mean. That whole thing, I think it was an Onion article, like 80% of teen chat rooms now undercover FBI agents or something like that.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, a Scanner Darkly by Philip K. Dick, the drug dealer being investigated by the undercover cop turns out to be the undercover cop.
Right.
Because he's doing the drug that makes you forget the memory. Ha, bringing it back around to Monarchs. I tell you what.
All right.
Yeah,
and with that, Paul, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Corrections is over?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take off.
Oh man, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Wow, 37 minutes. Oh wait, real quick, Ben. You have to take off. I know.
All right.
But we have to just really quick. Gotta put in all of our stuff. I'm leaving the room. Hey Betty.
Yeah.
We're talking really quick to Ben because he has to leave.
Hi, Ben.
Betty is doing her homework.
I'm doing my homework.
Wow.
Yep. Hey, Betty.
Yeah.
How was your report card this year?
Pretty good.
It was pretty good. I owe Betty $20.
Oh, really?
Yep, because I pay her
for doing well in school because that's her job.
Did you you didn't make a bet with her about how she was going to do in school?
No. We don't gamble on her education. We simply reward her policy. For a job well done. Yeah, yeah.
Although, you know, if she goes into college, she might be a little upset that you're still not paying for her good grades.
Well, we would be.
with room and board.
Yeah, no. No, here's the thing. Everybody is going to, we're going to figure it out, right? But, and who knows, by the time she's a teenager, maybe we'll be like, you know.
Just have to wait 2 more years, Dad.
Oh, no, that's right. 2 more years and she's a teenager. Wow. Can you believe it?
I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember when she was a baby.
I do.
A tiny baby. Okay. Well, Betty, say bye to the folks.
Bye, folks.
And Ben, I invite you to keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
All right, and have fun at the place, which we never actually explained to the people what it is. It's a circus restaurant.
Circus restaurant. Yeah, go. That's basically it. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Yep. Yep. Bye. Bye.